Blog Talk Radio.
Do you know what it's like to be bullied? I sure do, and it's not fun. People get bullied for everything these days, so much that it drives them to suicide. Fortunately, I stood up to the bullies, and I am now an advocate for anti-bullying. Please take a minute and visit www.stopbullying.gov to find out how you can put an end to bullying for good.
Doing today. I hope everybody's doing well. Thank you so much for popping in tonight.
I hope everybody is doing wonderfully tonight. Oh, man, welcome, everyone. Welcome, welcome, welcome. All my good friends on Facebook Live and the thousands of people, ladies and gentlemen, listening on, that's right, BIRN, Brain Injury Radio Network. That's right. Get on in here, everybody, on blogtalkradio.com at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We are excited to be here with you. We're going to talk about the importance of your story and body language and hand movements and all kinds of great things today. So come on in, be a part. Oh, my God. We've been, that's right, shoving it down your throat. That's right, shoving it down your throat that your story is important. That's right, your story is important, right, everybody? So we're just going to keep talking about this topic. That's right. Until December, I think. That's right. Until people start telling their stories. You know what? I've seen a lot of people already get out there and tell their story. And I'm very, very, very proud of my community. That's right. I'm very proud of my community. That's right. Because of the simple fact that I'm seeing a lot more people getting out there. A lot more people telling their story. That's right. It's important and imperative to know, guys, that it is very important to use your mouth and get your story out there. That's right. Get your story out there. It is so important. You don't know how important it is. You don't know how important it is, guys. You really don't. God bless you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for coming on in. It is another great show here on BIRN, Brain Injury Radio Network. Thank you so much for coming in and being a part here today, guys. We love you. We love you. We love each and every one of you. And we appreciate each and every one of you. Thank you so much for popping in and being a part of this great show tonight. That's right. By the way, BIRN, Brain Injury Radio Network, they are also a nonprofit. And we are, yes, trying to build up funds for BIRN as well. That's right. And we have 20 great hosts on this great station. 20 great hosts, that's right, doing great things 7 days a week on this great channel called Brain Injury Radio Network Live on blogtalkradio.com. That's right. And check out blogtalkradio.com/Brain Injury Radio. And you can check out every show during the week. Why not? And then come back on Saturday and be a part. And then, of course, we're always live streaming this live on Facebook Live. Hello, all my Facebook Live people. Hello. That's right. Yes, we got a lot of people in the house. We also got the troops from Afghanistan in the house. They are live in our chat room tonight. They are live in our chat room tonight, ladies and gentlemen. That's right. The troops from Afghanistan. They come in every show, guys. They come in every show. There's got to be something right going on here if the troops are listening in the mess hall all the way from Afghanistan early in the morning. That's right. It's like 7 a.m. over there right now. Yes, 7 a.m. and they're listening to me live. That's right, from Afghanistan in the mess hall, about 30 or 40 of them. Yeah, baby. Yeah. That's right. I tell you. So when it comes down to it, I'm really, truly excited. Always, every Saturday, to bring you these shows. That's right. And today, yeah, we're going to talk about the same topic. Yeah, we're going to shove it down your throat. Yes, we're going to shove the topic down your throat. We're going to annoy you to the point where you tell your story. That's right. We're going to annoy you to the point where you tell your story. That's right. It's important to tell your story. It's important to use your mouth. It's important to use your voice box. It is important. It is important. It is so important. That's right. It's so important, ladies and gentlemen, to know that you, ladies and gentlemen, that's right, you have the power within you. You have the power within your voice to do great things. That's right. You have the power within your voice to do great things. Never let anybody or anything or any entity take away your voice. That's right. Never let anybody censor you. That's right. Stand up for what you believe in. Speak your truth. That's right. Speak your truth. That's right. Thank you so much for coming in, everybody. We truly appreciate you. We got thousands of people here on BIRN. Please remember, BIRN, you know that you could share this out on 300 different networks, don't you? Yes. They could share it out on 300 different networks, including Twitter, LinkedIn. That's right. All the wonderful social media networks. And right here on Facebook Live, remember to share this out on your groups, on your pages, on your FB walls. That's right. Get this out there, guys. We appreciate you. We love you. And we're going to get right into the topic of the night. Yeah, and that's telling your story. That's right. You don't even know how much power you have in that voice, do you? You don't know how much power you have in that voice, do you? That's right. You got a lot of power in that voice. And always remember to project. And always remember to show passion in your voice. Projection and passion could be easily seen when telling one story. That's right. Like I do, every single show, I show passion. That's right. I'm not telling you to emulate me. I am telling you to put more passion behind your story. Believe in your story. Believe in your story. Believe in every word that you say. And remember, ladies and gentlemen, that's right. Remember to have confidence in what you say. That's right. Every word that you say, you have to have confidence behind those words. It's so important to have confidence behind those words. That's right. So important. It's so important. You know, so the projection is very important too. Because the louder you get, the more passionate you get, the more people listen, the more people, you know, actually get something out of what you're saying. The more passion you show, more people resonate with you. The more people actually maybe learn from you. That's right. You have to project as well as, that's right, show passion. Show compassion for others as well by listening to their story just like they listen to yours. Okay? This is not just the Joe show. This is not just, you know, your show and you don't listen to anybody else. Okay? It's important to listen to others. It's important to open up your mind to others and not listen to the society that we live in that says, let's be self-centered. Okay, let's be self-centered and the hell with everybody else. Let's just care about ourselves. Okay, that's what society says. It's time to start thinking out of the box. It's time to start thinking up out of the box. Time to, yes, use the Truman Doctrine, right? The Truman Doctrine. What is it? Step out of your reality and step out of the box. That's right. Step out of your reality and step out of the box. You don't want to be in the box for the rest of your life. That's right. It's the Truman Doctrine from the Truman Show, the movie. Did you ever see the Truman Show, the movie? You ever see how boring his life was until he actually found the steps, he found the door, and he was about to go out? God said, stay here. The show is going to end. And he decided to walk out. That's right. He decided to walk out, showing he wanted to step out of the box to do other things. That's right. Step out of the box to do other things. Truman Doctrine. I call that the Truman Doctrine. That's right. It's important, ladies and gentlemen, to watch that movie and understand what I'm talking about. To have a 9-to-5 job, rat race job, okay, every single day, come home, go to sleep, and go back to that rat race job is all humdrum bullshit, okay? Humdrum bullshit. That's right, okay? And he was, right? He wanted to finally think out of the box. He wanted to think out of that box. He wanted to do things on his own. He wanted to do his own thing, follow his own path, follow his own heart, follow his own journey. And guess what? He walked out that door. He walked down those steps. He walked out the door into the street. And that's when he started thinking out of the box. That's right. He got out of the bubble. That's right. He got out of his own bubble. He got out of his own life bubble. That's right. Remember, Truman Show started from conception of birth. Remember the movie? If you've seen it, started at conception of birth, through the birth, through him growing up, through him going to school, then going to his boring 9-to-5 job. That's right. And he couldn't take it anymore. And he busted out He actually got on a ship, and he was trying to sail out, and he didn't realize that he was in a bubble. That's right. He didn't realize he was in a bubble. He didn't realize he was in a studio. Let's put it that way, because it was a show, right? It was a show. But, I mean, you know, in reality, if you look at that, you know, he just wanted to get out of the box. He wanted to get out of his own way. He was sick and tired of sitting in the same boring box, and he wanted to get out of the box, okay? And he did. He walked right out the door. He didn't care what anybody said. Nobody was holding him back. That's right. So what's holding you back from telling your story, from walking out of the box? That's right. What's holding you back? What's holding you back? Right? Use the Truman Doctrine. Care about others. That's right. Care about others. It's important. That's right. Care about your story. Care about yourself, but care about others too. Don't forget about the millions of other people around you. Don't forget about the millions of other people around you. Don't forget about them, because you're going to see them every single day of your life. You're going to see them every single day of your life, people. That's right. People are going to be in your life unless you stay in your house and you're a hermit. If you stay in your house and you're a hermit and you're sitting down drinking Mai Tais in an easy chair, you're never going to change. You're never going to get out of the same life that you're in. And that's right. You're going to die in that easy chair. That's right. You're going to die sipping Mai Tais in the easy chair. You're going to die like that. Do you want to die like that? Or do you want to die opening up door number one and seeing what's behind it? Right? Or opening up door number two or door number three. You might actually find something great behind those doors. You do. You might want to find something great behind those doors. That's right. So, as we all saw in the Truman Show, he walked out the door and he started a new life for Riley. That's right. He did his own thing. He followed his own heart. He didn't want to follow the same humdrum bullshit every single day, doing the same boring things, boring mundane shit every day. That's right. He wanted to do something different. He was getting edgy. He was getting anxiety filled. That's right. To the point where he got on the boat and he was so relieved that, oh man, I might be able to get out of here now. Right. But he didn't realize, that's right, he was in a bubble the whole time. Are you in your own little bubble? Do you want to break out of your own little bubble? Is it time? Is it time to break out of your own little bubble? Is it time? Ask yourself, is it time? What do I mean by your own little bubble? People sit in their own little bubble and say, nobody else gives a shit about me. They don't give a crap about me. I'm not telling my story. Well, meanwhile, they could actually resonate with somebody. They could actually help with advocacy work. They could actually help with awareness. They could put a face to a disease. That's right. They could put a face to a disease by just coming out and telling their story. That's right. Because by just coming out and telling their story, ladies and gentlemen, they could make an impact. But if you live in your own little bubble, and you don't want to come out of your own little bubble, like Truman for a while didn't want to come out of the bubble, they didn't realize it's time to get out of this bubble, right? So when are you coming out? When are you coming out? Are you coming out soon? Because you might die before you come out. That's true. You never know when you're going to drop dead. So when are you going to come out of the shell? When are you going to come out of the bubble? Are you ready? Are you pumped up yet? Don't wait till you're on your deathbed. It is time to come out of the bubble now. It is time to tell your story. It's time to tell your factual story and use emphasis behind it and use the passion behind it. Tell that story. You're going to hear my story. That's right. You're going to hear my story on November 1st. Are you ready? Are you ready? I don't mind telling my story. Told my story like 200 times. I'm ready to tell my story again. I'm always ready to tell my story. I could go 3 days to tell my full story. I could show you my books. I could read my books. It's all about my true story. So what it comes down to it, guys, it's truly important and imperative to know that we have the power. We have the power, ladies and gentlemen, to do great things with our life. That's right. Even though we're suffering, even though we suffer with this horrible chronic pain, these horrible symptoms of autoimmune disease, we still can live life. That's right. We can still live life. We can still fight through, be that warrior that we say we are. That's right, that we say we are. Because a lot of people just say it and don't have the actions to back it up. It's time to start showing the actions to back up the words. That's right. Are you a true warrior? If you are, you will tell your story. You will tell your story. Tell it passionately. And you will have belief behind those words. And you will have confidence behind those words. You know, ladies and gentlemen, there's not a day that goes by that I don't tell a little piece of my story. Even on these shows, I go back in time and I tell a little piece of my story. That's right. If you, like I said, if you don't get my book, you could read my full journey. That's right, my full journey. Up until the point where I am now, of course, because the journey really doesn't end until death, until there's a cure, right? If there's a cure, then that's a different story, but if there's no cure, you know, this suffering doesn't end until death. That's it. We got to come to that realization, that fact, that it's either remission or nothing. That's right, it's either remission or nothing. That's right. Okay, there's no cures, there's no healing, that's right, there's no such thing as healing, that's right, okay? I love how these people come out and they're selling things, I'm healed, I am healed, yeah, good for you, and then your symptoms come back a year later, and then you're all depressed, my symptoms came back, I thought I was healed, right, you thought you were healed, but you weren't healed, and by the way, you were never healed. It's time to come to the realization that there's no healing. There's no cures. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of bad news. But it's true. And people want to believe it's so bad that they're cured. They want to believe it's so bad that they're healed. Oh, I'm healed. Oh, my God. My doctor said I'm healed. Oh, my God. Right. And by the way, the doctor is only an advisor, right? So he's not, he don't know what's going on in your body, really. You know? The doctor is only an advisor, you know? So he can only go by reports, blood work, MRIs, tests to see what's going on in your body. Only you know what's going on in your body. That's right. Okay? So if the doctor says you're healed based on your reports, based on your MRIs, based on all of that, that's kind of flimsy, don't you think? You know, bottom line is, yeah, it makes you feel better to think you're healed. It makes you feel better to think you're cured. Oh, they said I'm cured. You know, I've been trying this natural product for a long time. And for a long time, they say that I'm cured. Right. And then your symptoms come back. Don't get your hopes up so much. See, I'll give you an example. In my life, in my journey, like I said, I give you little pieces and bits and pieces of my journey, right? So in my journey, I didn't think Collamore Scrambler Therapy was going to work. I was actually a skeptic. I was. I was a skeptic because, one, it was a new treatment. Two, I was going to be a guinea pig for it. I was the first person with RSDPRPS, yes, to try Collamore Scrambler Therapy in New York. That's right. Yes, I'm in the record books. I actually put it in my last book, too. It's written in my book. It's written in stone. That's right. I'm the first person in New York with RSDPRPS to try Palomar Scramble Therapy. I was a guinea pig for all of you. All of you people out there. That's right. I was a guinea pig for all of you. That's right. But I was a skeptic. I was. It actually took me 6 months to say I'm going to try this thing, and it took 4 or 5 people to push me to go and get it. That's right. And now I kiss the machine every time I see it because it worked so good. It worked so good. You know, and when it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, it's important and imperative to know that if something doesn't work the first time, that doesn't mean it doesn't work. So many people are quick to discount treatments if they don't work the first day. Ladies and gentlemen, we're not working with cures here. Temporary treatments. That's right. What's a temporary treatment? Something that helps you for a short period of time, and then your pain comes back. Right. That's what we're working with. Temporary treatments. Not cures, and not long-term treatments. That's right. So give it a chance to work, especially in medication, especially with Palomar Scramble Therapy, especially ketamine. Ladies and gentlemen, the treatments that we have for chronic pain take a long time to work. But we want to get rid of our pain right now. We want to get rid of our pain right now, and it's not feasible to get rid of it right now. That's right. So take whatever you take, do whatever treatment you do, put a little prayer behind it, put a little faith behind it, and a little hope, and know that it's going to work for you. It's also a lot up here. If you don't think it's going to help, it's not going to help. If you think you still have pain, you will have pain. Ladies and gentlemen, the more you think about your pain, the more pain you have. Do you realize pain is not only physical, it's a lot mental too? Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's right. It's a lot mental too. It really is. Once people get in the pain mindset, it's tough to get out of it. That's right. It's tough to get out of the pain mindset. It really is. You're stuck in it after a while, especially if it's been years that you have chronic pain, right? So the example that I wanted to give you was Palomar Scramble Therapy and me being a skeptic and it working for me. See, I opened up a new box for myself, right? I opened up that box. I used the Truman Doctrine and I opened up the box and there it was, Palomar Scramble Therapy. I opened up door number and there was the machine, right? After 6 months, I opened up the door. I was fearful, okay? I was scared, but there I am walking into that door number one to get Palomar Scramble Therapy. And now look where I am today. Oh, baby. Oh, baby, right? So when it comes down to it, what are you waiting for? What are you waiting for? You know? Because it's going to be too late after a while. You know, that can happen with treatments. It can happen with finding doctors. It can happen just within yourself. You can lose faith in yourself. You can lose hope in yourself. I know a lot of people that lost faith and hope. That's right. They thought they were not worthy anymore to live. And I turned that around for them. I got people off the ledge. I got people to stop blowing their head off. They had a gun in their hand and they were ready to blow their head off. I got people from swallowing those pills to working for JGF Foundation. That's right. Why? Because I give a shit. That's why. But there are people out there that don't give a shit. Doesn't mean I don't give a shit. Okay? People are different. Some people are ignorant. They're not open-minded. And those are the people you don't want in your life. No. Those are the people you don't want in your life. No. You want people who are open-minded, positive, stand by you, listen to you, and most importantly, out your unique story. That's right. Hear out your unique story, because each and every one of us have a unique story with our diseases. The one thing that brings us all together as brothers and sisters is that chronic pain. The one thing that brings us all together is that chronic pain. That's right. Because we all have it. We all deal with it in different ways, with different diseases, in different body parts, in different organs of the body. Ladies and gentlemen, we all deal with some sort of a pain. People that live in pain resonate with one another, no matter what disease you got. That's why here at JGF Foundation Incorporated, we are trying to bring the whole community together as one, brothers and sisters. That's our main goal, rebuilding broken communities, rebuilding a broken existing community, which stinks. That's right. This is all about corruption and politics and gossip and drama and infighting and egotism. Are you sick and tired of it yet? Are you sick and tired of it yet? I am. I've been sick and tired of it for a good 7-8 years. That's right. That's why I created JGF Foundation Incorporated. To bring everybody together under one roof. That's right. That's right. I blame Facebook. I do. I blame Facebook. Facebook allows everybody to start a group. Everybody to start a page. Right. So somebody that's not a leader could start a page, and then you see a lot of these inactive groups, right? You see a lot of inactive groups out there? I do. I see a lot of inactive groups out there. Go down the line, okay? There are groups with 3 people in it, 5 people in it. And then there's always great ones that are, oh, there's thousands of people in my group. Right. Good. Good for you. There's thousands of people in my group. How many people actually talk in your group? Oh, I only have like maybe 30 or 40 people that talk. Yeah, thousands of people. Thousands of people. 30 or 40 people that talk. That's not even 1% of your group. That's not even 1% of your group talking. So either they're added to your group and they have no clue that they're there, okay, which a lot of people do just to, you know, embellish that I have thousands of members in my group, or, ladies and gentlemen, you know, it's just a group of people that maybe wanted to be in this group, and then all of a sudden they just, you know, I'm not going to talk in this group. I don't have time to be here. Right. So what it comes down to, ladies and gentlemen, it's important and imperative to know that, yeah, I blame Facebook logarithm for our broken community. I do. I blame Facebook logarithms for our broken community. That's right. Because we are being segregated. We are being segregated by group, by page, by organization, by nonprofit. And nobody's working together. But JGF Foundation, we want to work together with people. We want to collaborate with people. We are the new community. That's right. We are a breath of fresh air. That's what we are. We're a breath of fresh air. We're thinking out of the box. We don't think like the existing community. We move forward as a new community, bringing people together with chronic pain. That's right. So, yes, I blame Facebook logarithms for our broken community. That's right. Because it's not a battle about how many members you have in your group. It's a battle of saving lives. Do you realize that? Do you group leaders realize that? It's a battle of saving lives. It's a battle of helping patients. It's not about how many damn members you have in your group. It's not about your seven-year-old information that you post in your group, which a lot of you do. And a lot of people read it, and it's 7 years old. There's new up-to-date information to post. That's right. Same thing with the videos that we got out there, the old videos from 10 years ago. I see the same videos like 12, 14 times going around Facebook. Ladies and gentlemen, time for new videos. JGF Foundation is going to put out those new videos for you. But when it comes down to it, guys, the power of your story, the power of your story resonates with all of this. Because if you tell your story, you then help your community come together. You then help your advocates advocate for you. You then, yes, can get out there and say, I'm a face of my disease. You can finally say it. There's a lot of people that are not faces of their disease. They are actually just as invisible as their disease. That's right. They're just as invisible as their disease. That's right. They sit in the foreground and they let everybody else speak. And what about them? Do they have a voice too? Do they have a story to tell? Yeah, they do. Are you afraid of the hate? Come to JGF. There's no hate here. Come to JGF and tell your story. Come on my radio show and tell your story. I'll open up my radio show to you to come and tell your story on chronic pain so you can feel better about yourself and everybody around you can feel a better sense of you instead of having a negative bubble around you that people want to run away from you, right? Do you realize you create negative, and when you create negative, nobody wants to be around negative? That's right. Nobody wants to be around negative. So they all run away. They all scamper away, right? They all run away, scamper away. And then we blame them for running away, right? But we create our own peril. We create our own adversity. We create our own truth. So if we want a negative truth, nobody's going to want to be around that. They still love you. They just don't know what to do with you. They don't know how to help you. I bet you if you call them, they'll say, I love you. Right? Because they do. They still love you. They just don't know what to do with you. That's right. You know? And that goes for families and friends and colleagues and jobs. Right? You may love your job for 20 years and then you get an autoimmune disease and you're forced to leave. By God, I lost my 25-year career to lupus or to Lyme or to RSD. Oh, my God, woe's me. What the hell am I going to do with the rest of my life? Well, maybe you can tell your story and maybe you can write it. Maybe you can make some money that way. Right? Maybe you can start a radio show like me and, you know, have other people tell their stories, right? So when it comes down to it, there's a lot of different things that you can do. There's a bunch of different things that you could do in your second life that you didn't even think of in your first life. You may have lost that 25-year career, which you loved so much, and a lot of people love their job. Good for you. I hated my jobs. I actually found myself more with chronic pain. I was more depressed in my first life because I couldn't find myself in 8 jobs in 11 years. So you may have loved your job, but now it's time to find something else. It's time to move on and maybe find a different talent that you never used before, or maybe, you know, if you're a nurse or a social worker or something like that, work out of your house. Start your own business. And if you're a therapist or a doctor, work out of your house so you don't have to go far. right? Think about how you could do things outside of the box, like Truman, right? Outside of the box, like Truman. Why stay in the box and worry, am I ever going to have a 9-to-5 job again, which you probably won't. A lot of us don't go back to 9-to-5. Some of us do. Good for those people. Good for those people if they can get back to their 9-to-5 job. But a lot of us, we got to just move on and we got to find different things to make us happy. The little things make us happy. The little things make us happy, ladies and gentlemen. We got to look at the little things. We got to look at the little things. So important to look at those little things. So very important to look at those little things and know that those little things bring us joy. Joy is a choice. Happiness is a choice. Do you want to be miserable for the rest of your life? I see so many miserable people out here on Facebook. Do you want to be miserable for the rest of your life? Or is it time to add happiness? Is it time to add joy? Make the choice for yourself. You'll be better off. We're all here to suffer. Remember that for a reason. We're all here to suffer for a reason. Some of us today are in the hospital listening to this. Yeah, those people are suffering. But guess what? Little things is what you need to look for to make it a good day. Even if it's the worst day of your entire life, your worst week in your entire life, find the little things and look at the little things and say, wow, you know, today is a good day because of that. You know, today's a good day because my grandchild said something nice to me, or my child said something nice to me, or my spouse said something good to me, or, you know, I just pet my dog today. You know, what a fun time petting my dog. Or I do, you know what, I just put outside and I just love looking at nature. Right, oh man, look at that tree over there. Look at that grass over there, right? When it comes down to it, ladies and gentlemen, look at the little things in life. Nature is great. Nature is happiness. You think that tree is sad? It wouldn't be standing for 50 years if it was a sad tree, right? You think the grass is sad? Maybe when it's really hot out and it turns brown, maybe then it'll be sad. But you think the grass is sad all year round? No. Or maybe when the snow piles up on it, you know, maybe, you know, that's a little, you know, not so happy for the grass, right? But looking at grass, most of the time it's green, it's sprouting, right? Most of the time grass is happy, right? Most of the time, flowers are happy. But guess what? Everything dies, right? That tree is going to fall apart. The grass is going to die from the heat, right? The flower, you know, may not grow every year, and that's it. The flower is dead, right? Annual. Don't make yourself die like the flower. Don't make yourself die like the grass in the tree. It's time to be a survivor like that tree. How many natural disasters that tree go through when it's still standing, right? That's a strong damn tree. I know the one outside of my house, right, withstood 2 tornadoes, 10 hurricanes, numerous winter storms, numerous nor'easters, and it's still standing for a good almost 50 years. And I use that tree as an example. What about the survivor tree at 9/11? Right? What about that? The only tree to stand when the 2 buildings fell on it, right? That's a strong damn tree. Sorry. That's a strong tree. Really strong tree. That's right. You know, so when it comes down to it, guys, we got to be as strong as that tree. We got to be as strong as the grass and the flowers. Again, flowers go through the ground. You think it's easy for a flower to go through the ground? The flower suffers coming up out of the ground. That's right, because, you know, it's dirt. You know, it's, I got to come up out of this dirt, right? Come on, people. You get what I'm cooking? You get what I'm cooking, people. You get what I'm cooking. Because, you know, when it comes down to it, if we're not thinking outside of the box, we're not thinking outside of the box, we're in the box, right? We're still in the box. We're still sitting in our easy chair, sipping Mai Tais, you know, enjoying those Mai Tais. Oh, man, I don't want to give it up. I'm sitting there watching TV, sipping my Mai Tais. Oh, man, this is great. A lot of people like that. A lot of people like to be comfortable, the land, the comfortability. That's right. A lot of you people hear me say, the land, the comfortability. Do you realize that's not a good place to be? It's not a good place to be comfortable. If you're comfortable in a relationship, you're comfortable in a friendship, you're comfortable at a business, you're comfortable in this workspace, things change. Diseases happen. You lose your job. Right? A relationship breaks up. You divorce. A friendship breaks up. Right? It's all part of life. And that's the problem. Once people have something bad happen to them, like a trauma, they stay in the trauma. They stay there. They don't learn from it. They stay there. They don't talk about it. They don't talk about it through their story, and they just stay there. That's right. They sit in the easy chair of trauma. Or they sit in the easy chair of a broken friendship, but they don't come out. They don't accept the change. They don't accept it. That's right. They refuse to accept the change and move forward with life. Do you realize how much that hinders you? Do you realize not forgiving, how that hinders you? Not forgiving yourself, not forgiving the other person, not forgiving the situation, and not forgiving your pain. Because if you forgive something, you have no feelings behind it. You have no emotions behind it anymore. I could talk about my pain without crying. I used to cry when I talked about my pain. I can now talk about my pain without crying. I could talk about my ex-girlfriend of 12 years without crying now, because I was abused verbally and emotionally by her for a good 8 years in that relationship. Yeah, after 5 years, it went downhill. Yeah. So now I can talk about that without tears. Now, am I still mending? Yes, I am. But at least I'm making an effort to mend. I'm making an effort to mend. I'm making an effort to forgive. Okay? I'm not saying I'm fully through that yet. But to stay wallowing in that trauma, to stay wallowed in the abuse and not learn from it, the key is to learn from an abusive situation. The key is not to be affected for the rest of your life. The key is to forgive after a while so you can move on with your life. And the hell with the other person. Let karma get the other person. I don't care. At that point, I don't care about the other person. I care about myself. I care about you. But you know, the more we wallow in it, the more we have misery of it, the more we stay in the land of comfortability and we don't open up door number one and door number two and take risks. because we don't want this to ever happen again in our lives. Right? But the way to do it is, you know, to still see people, still go out there and see what's out there, but always educate yourself and know that you had that situation. Never forget it. Never forget it, but forgive it. So you don't have any feelings there. You don't have any emotions there. And you can move on with your life because everybody is different. That's just one example. Relationships. What about business? And you lose a job. And you get so upset. Oh, my God, I lost my job. There's another job out there. Actually, there's so many jobs out there that we can choose which one we want now. That's right. So when it comes down to it, you lose your job, that's not the end of your life. Now, for us, chronic pain patients, a lot of us have to step away from our jobs. We're forced to step away. We don't lose our jobs. We don't get fired from our jobs. But unfortunately, a lot of us are forced to step away. And yes, it's okay to grieve that. And yes, it's okay to talk about it. Because you want to release the toxins and you want to release the emotions behind that. It's okay. But again, if you can fight through and get to remission, you can always get back to a job. Or, like I said, become an entrepreneur, use your talent, and make money that way. Why stay stuck on entitlements that we are so we are so programmed to say, oh, but I might lose my entitlements. I might lose my coverage. Well, if you're making money with something you love to do, you can pay for your own health insurance. To actually get maybe health insurance through your new job. So the point is that are we going to be winners or are we going to be victims? A victim don't talk about their story. A victim doesn't talk about their story, but a victor does because they beat their disease. A victim does not talk about their story. And they're afraid to talk about their story because they don't have enough confidence or belief in themselves to talk about it. Simple psychology. Not all of us are the same. Actually, all of us are different. The only thing that differentiates us is our brain. That's right. Our brain differentiates us. Otherwise, we're all pretty much skin, bone, and red blood. Right? That's right. The only thing that differentiates us is this. So, some of us need to understand that getting out of that easy chair is so important for us. And that easy chair is just a metaphor to get out of the box. Do something for yourself. Stop wallowing in your pain. Stop wallowing in your misery. That's right. The easy chair and the Mai Tais is just a metaphor for that. I know we can do it. I know I can help people change their mindset because I've done it before. To the people that I saved their lives. Because if I didn't change their mindset, they would still want to jump out a window. They would still want to blow their head off. But they don't want to do that no more. They want to live. That's right. So I got people out of their easy chair, sipping Mai Tais. I got people out of the easy chair, and now they're doing something with their life. That's the importance of telling your story. Be a victor, not a victim. Be a victor, not a victim of your disease. Be a victor. Defeat your disease. Beat that disease. And that's the importance of hand movements. The fist shows power. The finger shows power. If you want passionate words more powerful, use the fist. Use the finger. That's right. You're not yelling at somebody. You're passionately telling people things. That's right. Hand movements. Very important. Sometimes you'll see me moving my hands all over the place with the finger, with the fist, up in the air like this. This is victory. This is victory. Right. Every once in a while, you got to give one of these when you create a win for yourself. That's right. When you create a win for yourself, when you finally get to that point where you can get outside and you can walk around, that's a win. Pat yourself on the back. Victory! Right. Victory. Or do you just want to stay in the easy chair, boring, mundane life, staying in your own misery, wallowing in your pain? That's your choice to make. You want to be a victim or a victor? You want to stay on entitlement for the rest of your life? Do you want to be a victim or a victor? Do something with your life. Create something. You can do it. Life doesn't stop because of a disease. Life continues. Time continues if you haven't noticed. Time continues. Time keeps rolling. That's right. And that means time is running out on you. That's right. Time is just as important as money. Time is just as important as money. Because without time, you can't make money. Right? Time is just as important as money. That's what I tell all my volunteers. If you're not happy, I'll put you into a position where you are happy because you're giving me time. Time is just as important as money. But our minds are so manipulated. A lot of our minds are so very manipulated by the powers that be. It's sad. By the pharmaceutical companies, by the insurance companies especially. And sometimes by our doctors and by our professionals. Sometimes, not all the time, there are doctors that actually give a shit. That's right. There are plenty of good doctors out there that actually have good bedside manner. But it all comes down to, do you want to be the victor or the victim? A victor tells their story with passion. The victim don't tell their story at all. Or they tell their story and they weep. And they want pity. And they want attention. Do you realize that pity and attention are negative things a lot of the time? We had somebody in our suicide groups, and I'm not going to say a name, put a false claim out there that he had a gun in his hand and he was about to blow his head off. So my organization went into protocol and did our job. We sent the authorities over. We called the hospital. We called the cops. We called the first responders. Hurry up, get over there. And it turned out to be a false claim. You realize attention can be very negative. If you're just looking for attention, maybe you got to seek it somewhere else. Because we are truly going to send somebody over your house to make sure you are not blowing your head off. That's right. That's our job. And people don't think we're going to do our job. See? That's the thing. People think we're going to do our job, but we do. I put people into protocol right away. Somebody says they're going to blow their head off. Yeah, we better get over there quick. But it was a false claim. Somebody that wanted pity. Somebody that wanted attention. To me, that's a victim. That's a victim of their own senseless stupidity. There are plenty of people that were real claims that we had to take care of that day. Put those claims aside to make sure this person didn't blow their head off. And it was a fake claim. So do you realize that pity and accolade and attention could be negative? You think I was a happy camper to know that that was a fake claim? That we actually wasted our time, a lot of time, trying to help somebody with a fake claim, whereas we had plenty of real claims to work on? We send people over your house. We do. Think you're going to get away with a false claim. Don't think you're going to get away with a false claim. Okay? That's important, ladies and gentlemen. Telling your story allows you to release all of this. Allows you to release all of this, I need attention. You know, allows you to release, you know, all of this, I need pity for my chronic pain. Oh, woe is me, I'm in chronic pain. I'm living in chronic pain, I don't know what to do with myself. Right? Find something to do with yourself. My God, there's something we could all do with our lives. We're winners. We're survivors, right? We all call ourselves survivors for a reason, because we survived our testing chronic pain. But are we going to choose to be the victor and not wallow in it, or are we going to choose to be the victim and wallow in it and live in the misery? Plenty of people on Facebook that live in the misery. There are people... I go to the hospital. There are people right now listening to me in the hospital that have more faith than people at home with chronic pain. People going through a lot of problems in the hospital right now. But they'll still have more faith than the people sitting at home, wallowing in their pain. My life is over. Your life isn't over. Your life isn't over. You know, why do I tell you all this stuff? Because I want you to listen to what you sound like. That's why. Because I used to sound like that too. And I grew out of that. I want you to hear what you sound like. I'm just giving it right back to you. Shoving it right back into your face. That's what I'm doing. And a lot of you don't like it, right? A lot of you don't like what I'm saying here, probably. A lot of you don't agree because you know you do that. It's a wake-up call. Because I used to be there. I used to be there. Trust me. I used to be there. Always thinking about my pain. Total hypochondriac. Went to every specialist on the face of the earth. Okay, I had like 12 different specialists I went to because I felt I was dying at one point. Yeah, I was there. I was a hypochondriac, like I always talk about. Don't be a hypochondriac. I was there. You think I'm going to talk about something that's not in my experience to talk about? I would be a hypocrite. So I'm just throwing it right back in your face. That's what you sound like. That's right. And that's what I used to sound like. And I don't sound like that no more. That's right. Because I'm not the victim anymore. I chose not to be the victim. I chose to be the victor. That's right. A victim allows their disease to consume them. Like I used to be. It used to consume me. For the first 2 years, I was very consumed. I'm not consumed anymore. I can care less about it. I go for my treatments. I do what I do. That's that. But I'm not consumed by my chronic pain. I'm not consumed by my disease. Telling your story allows you not to be consumed. The people that have told their stories can tell you that. They feel a release. A release of pent-up emotion. A release that allows them to get some closure that I have this disease for the rest of my life and I got to live with it. There are some people that are that stubborn that won't believe that. There are people that are that stubborn that will not believe that. Oh, I could get cured. I can get healed, right? We talked about that earlier. When somebody uses the word healed or cured, they're selling you something. That's right. They're selling you something. Because you don't get healed and cured from our diseases. Unfortunately. I wish it wasn't true. I wish it wasn't true, but guess what? It's in my head now. It's my RSD CRPS. I own it. You know what? That's scary. People don't want to own their disease. My lupus, my Lyme, you know, my fibro. People don't want to own their disease. They're afraid to own their disease. But once you start owning it, you stop thinking about it. That's right. When I started owning my RSD, my mind isn't there anymore. I know I have to go for my treatments. I know I got to go to see the doctor every 3 months. I know I got to go for my MRI every 3 months. I know I have to go for PT 2 times a year and column R 2 times a year. Do I bitch and moan about my pain? No, I don't. Do I put one thing about my pain on my wall? No, I don't. Unless I'm asked, what's your pain level today? I will put it up. I will never put that up on my own. Unless I'm talking about column R scrambler therapy that I went from a 5 to a 0 in 5 minutes. If it's something positive that happened with my pain. Like I said, my pain. My pain. You guys got to start learning to say my pain. Not the pain. My pain. Own it. It'll make you feel better to own it. Trust me, it'll make you feel better to own it. You won't think about it so much. You really won't. Trust me. I've been there. Again, I wouldn't tell you something that I didn't do myself. That's right. If it was something that happened to me, I'm going to talk about it. This is my experience coming to life. Like I said, I talk about my experience every show. Almost every show that I do, there's a little piece of my experience in it. All these things that I talk about are things that I went through and that I defeated and that I beat. That's right. Why can't you? Why can't you be strong? That's the question. We're all different. That's understood. But we're all stronger than able-bodied people. We're all stronger than any able-bodied person. We are. So find your inner strength, your disease. Don't never let that disease beat you one day. Because that day you let it beat you, you may not survive it. We're all going to die one day. I want to die fighting my disease. I don't want to die succumbing to my disease. Why don't people think like that? We're all going to die one day. I don't want to die from RSD, CRPS. I'd rather die from something else. That's right. I'd rather die from something else. Because that will tell me that I beat my disease for my entire life. That's right. I don't want to succumb to disease. I will not let my disease kill me. So the point of the matter is, are you going to be a victor or a victim? Here we go. We go back to victor and victim again. Those two words. People don't like being called victims. You know, a lot of people out there don't want to be called victims, but they act just like a victim. That's the scary part. They don't want to be called victims, and when they're called victims, they get mad because they know they're victims. Well, they're acting like victims. And it's actually funny when you call them out. I'm not a victim. Well, boy, you're getting kind of a little stressed out there, buddy. I only said, you know, something that I saw. You know, I'm going to say what I see. I don't care if somebody gets offended. Sorry, I don't. That's right. And that's why I continue to say what I say. Because sometimes you've got to be blunt about things so people understand how they're acting or what they're doing. I just threw at you everything that you throw at me every single day on that Facebook timeline. That's right. Do you like it? Oh, man, did that feel good. People that say, fuck MS, fuck RSD. Oh, man, I'm hurting. I don't know if I'm going to get up for 5 days. Right? That's all the crap that you throw at me every day. So I just threw it right back in your face. Do you like the way it sounds? And you know what? The timeline is changing, I have to say. With these videos, the timeline has been changing. People are listening, and people are getting what they sound like. That's right. Because they don't like what I'm throwing back at them. They're getting really angry. Probably people in here are getting really angry. Oh, I don't do that. Look at your timeline. Read some of the stuff on your timeline and tell me if you do that or not. Some people don't even realize they're doing it. Sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, it's involuntary for some people. It's involuntary. And there's just some pessimists out there. There are just some pessimists. Hey, you can't change them. There are just some pessimists out there. Everything is a hurricane. Everything is a tornado. Oh, my God. Oh, my word. Right, but now you sort of kind of hear the way you sound. You know? And doesn't that bother you a little bit? There are probably people that don't comment on my videos because, oh, he might be right, but, oh, I'm so angry. Oh, I just don't want to lash out on his video. Right. But then you go back and think about it, and like, he's right. I do sound like that. Maybe I got to change the way I do things a little bit. Change is a good thing. Change is good. But a lot of people don't accept it. That's the problem. A lot of people don't accept the change that's put in front of them. Here's the change. Right? There's a new treatment out, but I'm so skeptical of it. They don't accept the change. They don't eat the change. You know, they don't take the change. They don't take the bait. Like me with Calamar. It took me 6 months to get it. Took me 6 months to go get Calamar as a guinea pig. It took five people to pester the hell out of me to go get Calamar. And look where I am today. Take the bait. Take the change. Try something different. A lot of people are so stuck in their own little world. Now, I always fight for the people with opiates. I believe in fighting for the opiates for chronic pain patients. I believe in it because there are people that opiates, you know, they work for that people. Okay? Now, 15 different opiates did not work for me, but that doesn't mean they don't work for other people. So I go out there and I fight for opiates. Okay? What I want the people who are on opiates to hear what I'm saying. It's great to be there. It's working for you. That's like sitting in the easy chair. That's like sipping Mai Tais. That's like watching TV in the land of comfortability on your opiates, which is, again, that's not a bad thing. And I, like I say, I go out there and I fight for the opiates. Okay? I have a whole advocacy movement to go fight for the opiates. Okay? So, you know, again, I have no problem with opiates. Okay? But why not open up your mind to try something else that might actually put you into remission? That might actually put you into some sort of a remission that you won't feel your pain for a little while. Because, you know, the opiates are all great and all, but they mask the pain. And maybe you can do things on the opiates that you haven't been able to do, and that's fine. Like I said, I fight for the opiates, okay? I'm here to fight for you. I'm an advocate for you. But I just want you to open up your mind to maybe another treatment. And that's what we bring you here in JGF, all the different treatments. We bring you everything. All the different treatments. We bring you information on all the different treatments, including opiates. Including opiates. That's right. You know, and there's a lot of people, okay, 99% of people take it as prescribed, right? 99% of people take opiates as prescribed, meaning they are dependent, not addicted. Dependence and addiction are two different things. Okay? So when it comes down to it, like I said, I will fight for you. I've been fighting for the people that wanted opiates for a very long time, for about a year and a half now. We're going to have new petitions out there. We just set up a new advocacy movement, Stand Up for Pain Patients, Stand Up for Opiates is coming out soon. But I want you to open up your mind to maybe something that could put you into remission or another treatment that could maybe bring your pain lower than what it is now. Maybe it's a combination of treatments that will get you to remission is what I'm saying. Just sitting there staying on your opiate is you sitting in the easy chair staying in the land of comfortability. How about opening up door number one and taking a risk, maybe trying something else to lower your pain a little bit more? Ask your doctor. Okay? Ask your doctor before doing anything. Okay? But there are plenty of other treatments out there. Alternative treatments, holistic treatments, other conventional treatments, PT, acupuncture. Palomar Scrambler Therapy, ketamine, SES, pain pump. There's so many different things that you could try. Why not open up your mind? Open up your mind. Maybe you can find something that can get you into a remission or lower your pain to a point where, man, you can do anything you want again. Sometimes it's a combination of treatments that works. Sometimes it's just one treatment that works. But I know people on opiates want to stay on opiates, and they're fixed on the opiate. And like I said, there's nothing wrong with that. If it helps them, of course they're going to be stuck on the opiate. Okay? They're going to be dependent to the opiate. That doesn't mean something else may not aid you to lesser pain. So I just want you to open up your mind a little bit. You know? Just want you to open up your mind a little bit. From somebody that fights for opiates for you, open up your mind a little bit. Okay? There's nothing wrong with opening up your mind and trying something else. But again, we go back to the importance of your story, the different treatments you tried. You know, how much pain you were in the first day you got chronic pain. What did you think the first day you got chronic pain? What I thought was, this pain's going to go away. It's just like every other pain that I had. Right? That's what I thought the first day. Right? And I stayed at work for 8 hours. Right? That may have not helped me, but I stayed at work for 8 hours. That's my work ethic. Okay? And walked around limping. I walked, but limped around for 8 hours. That's right. Without a seat. And they asked me, do you want one of those, you know, things you can drive around in? I said, no. I'm not an old person. I'm not going to drive around in one of those things. And that's what I was thinking at the time. But then I needed to drive around in those things. And I wasn't an old person, you know, but the bottom line is we have to adapt to the changes in our life. Adapt. And if we're not adapting, we're not accepting the change that is coming in. We're not accepting the treatments that are coming in. We're not accepting anything new but what we're doing. You know what I'm saying? I understand the need for opiates. But why not open up your mind to try something else that might aid you with the opiates? Right? Of us are so quick to say, oh, this doesn't work for me. Oh, it doesn't work. Like I said, it takes a long time. Remember, we're working with temporary treatments. We're not working with cures here. Everybody thinks, oh, my God, my pain should be away as soon as I take this medication. No, it doesn't work that way. It don't work that way. Sorry. Everybody's on that mindset, oh, my God, I just want to get rid of my pain. You may not. You may lessen your pain. You may go into a remission, but your symptoms might come back. But there's no getting rid of. There's no getting rid of. There's no heal. There's no cure. Try to get this through your head. If they use the word heal or cure, they're selling you something. All right? And if you want to take the bait, go ahead and take the bait. It might help. Listen, guys, this stuff that they talk about that, you know, oh, and heal, cure, no. There are not any of those things. But guess what? It might help. I'm not saying that those things won't help. But they're not going to get rid of your pain forever. I'm sorry. I'm sorry to be the bearer of Bad news. Sorry. You know, oh, man, I don't know if I want to listen to this guy ever again. He's the bearer of bad news. You want to, you know, go and live in the sunny area, you know, with beautiful mountains and trees, and, like, nothing's wrong here, right? I'm sorry, life is not like that. Life is not butterflies flying around every day. Life is not dragonflies in the air, beautiful dragonflies. Life is not, you know, animals running in the field. No, I'm sorry. There are hard times in life, but the hard times are what we need to learn from, not hold on to. We need to learn, we need to forgive, and we need to let go. Let it go, let it go. Oh, let it go. That's right. Just let it go. Let it go. That's right. And be the victim. Don't be the victim. It's time to stop being the victim. There's too many victims out there these days. We need victors. We need a lot of victors. That's what we need. You know, progression is very important. Progression in life is very important. And again, opening up those doors. Boop, 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 let's see what's behind this door, right? And, you know, it may not be something you like, but you made the choice to open the door, right? Forgive the choice that you made. Forgive yourself. Do you realize, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't forgive ourselves for any of the choices that we make, and then we feel bad about them, and we feel guilty about them, and we feel, oh, my God, why did I make that choice? There are plenty of people out there, you know, that wish they never made the choice that they made, but at the time, it was a good choice. At the time, it was a good choice. But then they realized swiftly that it wasn't such a good choice. They have to live now with what happens from making that choice. You have to forgive yourself for making a bad choice, because at the time, it was a good choice. And you didn't realize what was going to happen, but you took a risk. Every treatment that we try is a risk. Every treatment that we try is a risk. There's a risk behind every treatment that we try. But it's your choice to open up that door and see what treatment is behind that door. And then you can always make a choice. Well, now I'm going to close the door on SES's. I'm going to close the door on surgery. I'm going to close the door on certain things. But if you choose to walk in and get that surgery and get that SES, and then it breaks down and they got to have another surgery, and then the battery breaks down and they got to put a new battery in, and that's another surgery. That's why people with SESs go through numerous surgeries. But again, SESs work for a lot of people, so I'm not going to put them down. I'm not going to put down an SES because it works for patients. And I wouldn't be an advocate if I didn't advocate for every treatment. That's why I fight for opiates. That's why I fight for MMJ. That's why I fight for all of these controversial things, because I wouldn't be a true advocate if I didn't fight for all treatments that help chronic pain patients. I would be a hypocrite. Actually have to step down, probably. But, you know, when it comes down to it, you have a choice to walk in the room or close the door. And if you choose to walk in, accept accept your choice, whether it's good or bad. I wish they don't choose surgery. And surgery works for some people. Sorry, it does. I mean, it may work for, you know, 1%, 2% of the population, 5% of the population, 10% of the population. But, again, there's a risk that something is going to happen. SCSs are not always going to work. Palomar is not always going to work. Ketamine is not always going to work. Medications are not always going to work. That's right. Sometimes you get immune to a medication, you got to go on another one, right? Your body gets immune to it. It don't work no more. You got to go on another one, right? Every treatment you try is a risk. Accept that. It's a change you're going to have to accept or not try. There are people that want to try stem cell. And some of those people are in here right now. There's a risk behind stem cell. But sometimes the benefits outweigh the risks. So they do it. And guess what? They have to either reap the benefit or accept that maybe it doesn't work. You know? It's just a reality. I'm sorry. Sorry, everyone. It's just the reality of life. Not every choice we make is going to be a good one. We make the best choices for our life. And if we make one bad choice, that's the end of the world. And that puts us into a long-lasting depression and anxiety fit. Because we can't forgive ourselves for making that one mistake. That was actually a good choice in the beginning. You realize every choice that you make is a good choice before it happens, right? It's a good choice before it happens. Hopefully it's a good choice after it happens, too. But when it comes down to it, that's the reality of life. I explain it sometimes in weird ways, using metaphors, similes, symbols. I love to use the symbol of the tree. Because the tree, as I spoke about on this show, I think it was in July, I had a whole show on the tree and flowers and how they flourish and what survivors trees are. Do you realize we have trees here on Staten Island that have been standing for 120 or 130 years? And they have barks like this. And they're hollow inside. And they're still standing. That's right. And storms don't bring them down. Why can't you be like that tree? Why can't you be like that tree? Everything dies. The tree is going to die. Eventually one day, the tree is going to die. It's going to fall. Or it's going to be blown over. Or it's going to be, you know, oh, somebody comes around and, you know, oh, accidentally cuts it down, you know. It's going to die, just like grass dies in the heat, just like the grass dies in the freezing cold, just like the flowers, you know, they lose their petals after a while. You know, after a while, they, you know, they all become wrinkly and disgusting looking and brown. And the leaves start falling off. You know, it's natural. It's natural. Autumn, the leaves are falling off the tree. That doesn't mean the tree is dying. That means, you know, it's time for rejuvenation for next year, right? Because then the leaves grow again in the spring, right? So when it comes down to it, how about rejuvenating your life? How about rejuvenating your life? Right? Just like the autumn is when the leaves fall, and the spring is where the leaves grow, why can't it be the same in the life cycle? Why can't it be the same in a human? Because, of course, that time of rejuvenation, the leaves fall, and then we go into the winter, right? We go into the winter, and then we go into spring, and the leaves start growing again. Then we go into summer, and that's time for rejuvenation. Don't you understand? Okay, so you got fall. You're supposed to rejuvenate in the winter. A lot of us hibernate in the winter. A lot of us do. Chronic pain patients, a lot of us hibernate in the winter. So it's time for rejuvenation in the winter and the summer. And it's time for growth and remembrance. Growth in the spring and remembrance in the fall. Remember everything that you've done that will lead you to rejuvenate yourself in the new year, which will then allow those leaves to grow again, which will rejuvenate you to push you to do more in the summer. And that's when people do a lot more, usually, in the summer. If they're the ones that can take the heat. You know, I have a hard time taking the heat because I swell up, and I have a hard time taking the cold because of the stabbing pains. But, you know, when it comes down to it, I'm not going to let the stabbing pains stop me from doing my videos, stop me from rejuvenating JGF Foundation, stop me from building my radio station. Feel those pains, but I'll keep moving forward. Would you do the same? Look at yourself in the mirror. Would you do the same? Would you do the same for your life? Would you rejuvenate your life? Just like those leaves rejuvenate in the spring, and you remember everything that you've done in the fall, could you rejuvenate your life in the winter and the summer to do great things? Could you allow those branches to grow a little further? Because the more the branches grow, the more you're going down your right path. Oh, this is deep shit, people. Oh, this is deep shit. Oh, my God. I hope everybody's getting this. Oh, this is such deep shit, ladies and gentlemen. We're learning a lot today. Oh, my God. I tell you. Hope people are getting something out of this. I need a couple of amens. I tell you. Because we're coming to the end here. Body language and hand movements allow you to express yourself more than just with your voice. If you're moving your hands, it shows power. It shows passion. The more you speak, the more hand motions you should do. A lot of us can't stop using our hands when we speak, including us New York Italians. But bottom line is, body language is important too. If you're sitting there like this, nobody's going to believe a word you're saying. Open yourself up.